Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Tuesday live in beautiful Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, and FS1, Joy Taylor returns today. So fitting that Joy is back. Her brother, of course, the Hall of Fame football player. Joy understands what NFL locker rooms are all about. Your brother, of course, played for Nick Saban.
He did.
Best college coach ever who did not work in the NFL for a variety of reasons. He didn't quite get the sensibility, the temperature of the room in an NFL locker room, right? Is that fair?
It's two different businesses and two different sports. We often mush them together, and they've gotten much closer over the years. But, yeah, it's a big difference coaching young men and adults with mortgages and children of their own.
And that often make more than you, the coach.
Yes.
And have a union, a players union. And so there's a television show out there. I just started binge watching. It's quite adorable. That's a key word here. It's optimistic. It's corny. But it's hopeful. It's called Ted Lasso. It's really quite good as a TV show where a small Southern football coach, Division II school wins. And I mean, it is beyond corny. But you suspend belief because you know it's not true, and the character is so infinitely likable that he gets hired by a devious owner of an English Premier League team, she's a great actress, to coach an English Premier League team, and he's never watched a soccer game. Again, it's not realistic, but it works as a TV show. It doesn't work in real life. Urban Meyer thinks Ted Lasso, and maybe that's because he's watching the show and he likes it like me, he thinks he's going to bring a tight end that hasn't played for 8 years. Oh, my bad. Tim Tebow's never played tight end. He's a quarterback. And I'm going to do a Ted Lasso impression here. If you think Tim Tebow, tight end to Jacksonville, works, you think Ted Lasso would walk into that locker room, well, boys, we got a guy's been out of the league 8 years, maybe nine. I lost count. He used to be a quarterback. He wasn't very good at that. He's a tight end. He's never done that. And he's going to set the culture in here. He's going to show us boys how to win. Oh, God, it's cringy. Tim Tebow is now at 6'2". There are no tight ends at 6'2". 6'4 is considered small at tight end. Is going to put his hand in the dirt and going to block a young man who is a pass rusher that weighs 25 pounds more and wants to put food on his table because he's got a new baby girl. And he's been cut by two NFL teams. And he wants to kick Tebow's ass because he doesn't buy his nonsense anyway. Because that defensive end would never have gotten a shot at baseball. He would never have been drafted in the first round. And he's putting food on the table for his baby daughter. And you think Tim Tebow's going to put a hand in the dirt and block him? Oh, that is so cute. This is awful. It's so collegiate. Folks, Rudy is a true story about a walk-on in college. Hoosiers is about Indiana high school basketball. This is the NFL. People wonder if Kyle Pitts, the new prototype at tight end, can block. He's 6'5 and runs a 4'4, and they will demand he blocks. Tim's 6'2. He ran a 4'7 40 8-9 years ago. He's never been as athletic as everybody hopes, and he's a good person, and he's corny and optimistic and hopeful. He is Ted Lasso, and I like Tim, and I've met his brother, bumped into him on vacation. I've said before I'd put Tim somewhere on a roster maybe like 7 years ago. But this isn't going to sell. We know Urban. I liked Urban. I know Urban. I've known Urban forever. I've been saying nice things about Urban. Today's not one of those days. Okay, we all know Urban is smart and can coach. Good broadcaster, too. The question was always, does he understand the sensibility of the locker room? Saban really didn't. And Saban is sharp and Urban sharp. But when Urban tried to muscle through a strength coach from Iowa who had just been fired for abusive behavior to athletes and some racially insensitive stuff, as a little bit of a red flag. It's like, Urban, that's not going to work here. And that lasted about a day. It's like, you can't treat NFL players like that. They'll deck him. Okay, you can't sell Tim Tebow out of the league 8 years as a tight end. Now, maybe he's trying to get invested, get his pension or something like that. I mean, maybe that's it. But even then, you're taking somebody else's job. A head coach called me this morning. He said, does Tebow understand what it's like to block a defensive end? Does he own a mouthpiece? Come on. Again, Hoosiers, Rudy, Ted Lasso. I loved all of them, but they're TV shows or they're movies. And the reason you allow Ted Lasso to work, I mean, by the way, this shows you how unrealistic it is. It's shot in London, they say. The first three episodes, it never rains. It's sunny every day. Well, that tells you right there, it's not made in England. Or they pick the 2 days of the year, it doesn't rain in England or is not cloudy. But you suspend belief because you like the story and it's hopeful. And so is Tebow. That's why everybody fell in love with Tebow. We knew he couldn't throw. He wasn't that athletic. But he was an easy guy to root for. Right? In America, everything's so negative and cynical. And Tebow was like Ted Lasso. He was so optimistic and so hopeful and chasing his dream. He was impossible for a lot of people not to root for. He put his religion out there. He was just players said he's the guy you want your daughter to marry. So nice. But it didn't work at quarterback and at baseball, where he was a great high school player with both and a great college player in football. Folks, sometimes I think it borders on disrespectful. I really do. I think you're going to try to take food off the table from defensive ends. Somebody's losing a roster spot because of this. Man, it feels like an eye roll to me. And I don't want to be negative here. I'm Mr., you know, Uncle Colin is Mr. Positivity, glass half full. But boy, this just doesn't feel right. This feels like the strength coach with a nicer guy. It feels like a complete eye roll by NFL people. When I have coaches calling me this morning and going, the hell? Sorry using that word in a Tebow rant, but I mean, it's not going to work. All right. I remember when the late Kobe Bryant scored 60 points in his last game, and he set a record for the most shots ever taken in a game. And I worked with somebody at the time, and he hated it. He said, that's not how you end it. And I argued, no, that's exactly how it should end for Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant was authentic to himself. Kobe Bryant, Laker fans would tell you, he often shot too much. But Kobe Bryant setting an NBA record on his last game, shooting the most shots ever and dropping 60, was perfect. Kobe was a performer, an entertainer, closest thing we've seen to Jordan. And it worked for me. I thought, that's authentic. That's who Kobe is. Had Kobe come out and set a record for assists, you'd be like, what? That's not who Kobe is. Russell Westbrook did something last night. Now, he didn't try to do it like Kobe, but it was a perfect, perfect night that symbolizes Russell Westbrook. Russell Westbrook is insanely athletic. Top five athlete league history. Wildly fun. Polarizing. And last night, he set the all-time NBA record for triple-doubles. And at the end of the game, with plenty of time, he took a three-pointer and missed. It was not great judgment. He had time to drive and draw a foul. He's good at that. And he missed a three-pointer. Of course he did. Here's the end of the game. It's so fitting.
The Wizards are going to go with it. Here comes Westbrook, 4 seconds. Westbrook puts up the three, no good, and Atlanta's going to win it by one.
It's tough right there. Got a clean look off Russell Westbrook. Just came up short.
On a night when he makes history, he keeps that ball, but the Wizards in a one-point game again.
Of course he kept the ball. He once said it's his best friend. That's how he should set the record. And this is not a criticism of him. When Jameis Winston's last pass as a Buccaneer was a pick six, you're like, well, that's kind of what it should be. Russell Westbrook gave you both facets of his game last night. His utter brilliance, his unmistakable athletic ability, his brilliant talent carved through years of focus and determination. You got that. And he missed a three-pointer badly when he should have driven, gotten fouled, and headed to the line. You get that. He's won seven playoff games since he and KD got a divorce, and that's with James Harden and Paul George at two different stops. He is one of the most unique players ever. People say Iverson. I think he's more athletic than Iverson. I think he's stronger than Iverson. I think he's more vertical than Iverson. He may not be as fast. I'm not sure anybody's ever been as fast as Iverson. But you got a little of both yesterday. In fact, you got a lot of both. Can't really shoot. Judgment sometimes we don't love. But he now holds an NBA record, one that means a lot to him. Not much to most people. I'm not really a triple-double guy. But it means a lot to Westbrook. Poll most basketball fans, it doesn't mean a lot to them. But that, too, has always been Westbrook. He's a little different. He's contrarian. He's unique. And now, fittingly, he's a record holder. All right, so Devontae Adams of the Green Bay Packers came on our show yesterday, and he was really good. We even lost him for a while. Technology came back. He was good the second time. But apparently it got a lot of play, what he said. And I want to go back to one thing he said, and I just don't quite know if Green Bay understands the dominoes that could fall if they don't clean up this Aaron Rodgers situation.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hustler Turf, the Hustler Raptor, upgraded it, and it was their best residential lawnmower. Go to HustlerTurf.com. Feel the Hustler difference. They know lawnmowers. I know lawnmowers. I got a lawn now. I moved. I got a lawn. Got a lawn now. I have a lawn. I did as a kid. That's how I made money. So Devontae Adams was on our show yesterday. Thank God the NFL Network credited us with the actual interview. Somebody didn't. Nonetheless, I am not bitter. I do not hold grudges. Devontae was great. It was great to have him on. I'd love to have him on again. So we talked about, I asked him some questions about, what if Aaron leaves? What are you doing? You're a free agent in a year. And Devontae Adams said this.
When I first got it, I was actually on the golf course trying to enjoy myself. A couple brewskis out there, so it's a good day. And then I hear that, and it kind of sways it, obviously. I don't really know what to think. I hadn't really spoke to him. So, you know, it wasn't the best news to receive while I'm out there trying to have a good time. But, you know, it scared me a little bit.
But if Aaron moved on, you have such an incredible working relationship with him. Would it affect your future in Green Bay?
Potentially. I mean, that's my guy. That's the only guy that I've had, you know, other than that 2017 season when he got hurt. It's the only guy that I played with. And, you know, we built up a special connection over the years that has made it, you know, put us both in really good positions in our career. It would change a lot, man. You know, doesn't mean potentially I'd be gone, but, you know, I'd definitely have to do some extra thinking if my guy wasn't here.
Yeah, you don't want to lose him. He may be the best receiver in the league. In The Last Dance, the Michael Jordan documentary, it was really a cautionary tale on don't tick off your superstar. As Joy has said often, not many of them around, take care of them. General manager Jerry Krause of the Bulls didn't want Phil Jackson back. But that didn't mean he lost just Phil Jackson, because Michael said, I will not play without Phil Jackson. So you lose the best coach and the best player. And then Scottie Pippen, Rodman, Steve Kerr, Bolt, and now your best player is Tony Kukoc, a finesse European who won best sixth man in the league. That's your franchise player. You lose Aaron Rodgers. Number one, your Jordan Love pick is going to be exposed. Going to be a bad day for Brian Gutekunst, the GM. You're going to lose the locker room. You're going to lose Devontae Adams. By the way, you've never been a place that can get free agents anyway. Yeah, you're done getting those. You struggled to get him with Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Folks, the Chicago Bulls have never recovered. And that's a wealthy franchise with an owner willing to pull the trigger on big moves. And by the way, it's a very attractive city. I'm going there this weekend. They've never won more than 50 games. One time, 23 years. That's it. The Chicago Bulls have never recovered. Green Bay, do you understand how the dominoes work? You know, I've worked in corporate America for, God, ever. Let's start with that. Ever. And, you know, I've had a pleasant experience every place I've been. But I'll tell you something. Almost as a rule, executives sometimes don't see around corners. And you think one move stands on its own. And it is incredible in my career doing this how often one move becomes two, becomes three, becomes four. You lose Aaron Rodgers, you better have a backup plan. You better be trading with somebody with a quarterback. Minimum Derek Carr. Because you bring Teddy Bridgewater in, nice guy, but they don't play the same. So there are, you lose a Jordan, you lose an Aaron Rodgers. There is such a waterfall effect of just people moving on. Agents like, don't play. Why would an agent want one of his receivers to go to Green Bay? Your catches are going to go down. That's what I always said about the Tim Tebow fascination. I was always like, wide receivers are never going to want to play in Denver. They had Demaryius Thomas and Eric Decker. Their numbers plummeted. Tebow's gone. Peyton Manning comes in. Now they're all pros. Now they're getting... I mean, the bottom line is you lose Aaron and Jordan Love stinks if he does. And by the way, their GM said this past week, he's a long way off. What free agent wants their career to end in the smallest city? So it is Davante Adams. You're not gonna get another Davante Adams. Like he's a Hall of Famer. He's maybe the best red zone receiver in the NFL. Like there's not a lot of him on the conveyor belt. Like those Jason Taylors, Davante Adams, just don't Khalil Mack. You don't get a lot of chances. Khalil Mack is a once in a decade rush end. Giants have never gotten a Lawrence Taylor. Bulls have never gotten anything close to Michael Jordan. Zach LaVine, that's Michael Jordan. That's about as close as they've had. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, this all works out swimmingly for the Packers if Jordan Love is their third first ballot Hall of Fame quarterback in a row.
No, if he could play, all this stuff solved. But tomorrow.
We don't know if he can play. And GM Brian Gutekunst spoke at this year's draft about the possibility of Jordan Love jumping into the driver's seat.
Obviously, we think the world of Jordan and where he's going to go and develop. I think it's pretty early to kind of be able to tell you that, because obviously with no preseason game last year, but preseason games last year and then just the kind of the no spring, but we have a lot of confidence in his talents and his work ethic and where he's going to go, but it's a little early for that.
Mm-hmm. You better, because this was your decision
and you're tied
and
to it forever.
Quite ruffling of feathers. Yes, so this is an echoing explanation of what we're hearing about Love. Here's what concerns me about the situation. I did not like the pick to begin with. You were in the NFC Championship game.
Yeah.
Of all the positions of need you needed in the first round, it was not quarterback. And it's not like Love fell to them and he was this highly touted prospect. You traded up to get him. That sends a message no matter what position it is. But the quarterback was the last position that you needed. And I've talked to a lot of people about it. And they're like, oh, but Aaron Rodgers, his numbers were slipping. Slipping? He just won the MVP, so he obviously still had that in him. Whatever happened with the NFC Championship game with the Packers last year was not on Aaron Rodgers. I think we can all safely say that's the position that we're the most sure about with the Green Bay Packers. So you made this move, sent a message to Aaron Rodgers, sent a message to your fan base that you are now building towards the future when you are already in the present competing to make it to the Super Bowl. So you better be sure he's the guy.
Yeah, it's going to be mocked. Even if he's really good.
Yes. No, he has to be a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Like, even if he was, you'd be like, I guess you'd tolerate it. If he was Justin Herbert, you'd be like, okay, I get it.
Yes.
But when you make that move, you cannot be hopeful. You have to be sure.
There was was nothing. There was not one drop of reassurance in that statement because he knows he can't oversell him. At this point, it's best to undersell.
Right.
You're still developing. You're still years away. Then why did you trade up in the first round to get him? You're not trying to win championships. That's the message that you said. You're building towards future championships, which is why I'm completely on Aaron's side for being upset. But more than that, this would very quickly all fall apart because if Aaron Rodgers is not there, and at this point we're all assuming he's at least not going to be there next year.
Right.
When you have guys who are sitting behind quarterbacks, Patrick Mahomes, Aaron Rodgers, you have a feeling like even Jimmy Garoppolo, like there's a reason why Tom Brady wanted Jimmy out of the building.
Yeah.
It wasn't because he was unconcerned about what Jimmy was doing in practice.
No, Jimmy could play.
Yes. So he wanted him out of the building.
That's why Favre didn't like Aaron Rodgers around.
Exactly.
He could play.
Because he could play. So there's a reason why Aaron Rodgers is mad about this and is offended, as he should be. But there's also a reason why we're not hearing that. We've asked players all the time, can you tell if a guy can play? Very quickly. And we're not hearing that.
Yeah.
So the 49ers drafted Trey Lance with a 3rd overall pick. But there was a lot of talk leading up to the draft that Mac Jones was going to be the pick. And it kind of surprised a lot of people. I certainly was shocked that that was what happened. Well, Peter King thinks there were two reasons behind the Mac Jones smokescreen.
Smokescreen.
Yes. So suppose the 49ers wanted to convince the world that they're picking Mac Jones. And suppose they've talked to several teams about Jimmy Garoppolo in trade. They'll pony up bigger packages than they'd offered. Then there's another reason. For a month and a half, Shanahan could have had deep discussions with coaches and scouts about the merits of the 3 quarterbacks. So he also said, if everyone in the organization knows you're taking player X, then they're more likely to echo chamber all the good stuff about player X than be totally honest about all 3. So basically, it was just a ripple effect. They weren't sure, according to them, up until about 10 days before the draft, where they were going with. So there was all of this positive Mac Jones talk, and they were leaning in on Mac Jones for so long. I'm told it was the Trey Lance interview that moved.
Well, I mean, I guess you could believe this. I always felt this. And I shouldn't say I always felt this. The more I thought about this, I felt this. Would you move up to number 3? Because I heard this early. You move up to number 3 when you've got several guys you like. To me, it's the opposite.
Yeah.
You move up to 3 if you've got a guy you like. So I still contend the Mac Jones stuff was real, and it got such awful media and fan support. I mean, it was mocked that I think sometimes, you know, I know you guys listening, fans, think you get hosed all the time, but fans do have power. Yes, they do. First of all, your power is not watching a show or watching a show. That's your ultimate power. But when fans are like, this is toxic, they stop buying merchandise. And by the way, your owner driving to work every day doesn't want to turn on KNBR in San Francisco and hear people crapping on his coach and GM. I think they wanted to draft Mac Jones. I understood their reasoning. He can play right away. But I think the Bay Area said no, and then it gave the scouts and John Lynch, who weren't in the Mac Jones corner,
yeah,
more ammunition to go to the owner or to go to Kyle and go, Kyle, you're on an island here. This is a career ender if it doesn't work.
No, I can see all of that. I also think that, you know, obviously there was no new tape. The pro days are what they are, but it's not like, you know, you're evaluating something dramatically different than you were going to see on the tape. It's just an extra viewing of their skills. But if you're on the fence, or, you know, half the organization isn't sure, and to your point, the fans are mad about it, and then you meet with Trey Lance and, you know, it's the hard eyes emoji, then it does make it easier for everyone to move on because you're so impressed with the interview. So the last time James Harden played in a game for the Nets was April 5th, and he only played for 4 minutes. So the playoffs are quickly approaching, and Steve Nash gave a positive update on Harden.
It's just a matter of monitoring it from today to tomorrow to Wednesday and figuring out what's the best plan of attack. So we can't commit to anything right now because we're not committed to anything. We're just trying to, you know, get a good picture from one day to the next, where we're trending, where we're heading, and then make a sound decision based off that. But definitely possible that he plays one or more of these last 4 games.
The most amazing thing about Brooklyn, I have to be honest about this, I thought KD was the best player and the most valuable. Harden's value is kind of shocking. Like, they won 20 of 22 at one point without KD. Without Harden, it's a mess. Like, I always said this, Harden's a great all-time scorer. But in the MVP races, I was always really cynical, which is a bad quality to have. But it was like, come on. No, it's actually interesting that Harden's value has increased exponentially, in my opinion, joining two other stars.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'll just say it now. I am shocked how important he is on this team. Like, Kevin Durant could leave the Warriors. They could win games. But this team is just okay.
Yeah, I still think KD is the better overall player when healthy.
When, yes.
But formulas and chemistry for teams is very important. I didn't like Harden's game. I didn't enjoy watching it before he got to Brooklyn. So I'm disappointed that, you know, our big teams are struggling with injuries. The big brands right now heading so close into the playoffs. I wish they had gotten some time to play in the regular season.
Yeah.
But they're three games back of first place from the 76ers in the East. They have four games back, so they'd currently face the winner of 7-8 in the play-in game, which as of right now would be the Celtics and the Hornets. Jaylen Brown is out for the rest of the season. So that's at least for the first round.
Well, the Celtics have no size, so the
and
Nets
they just lost Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, the Nets will roll through the Celtics.
Yes. So my concern with the Nets has obviously always been later into the playoffs, which could end up working out better for them for getting Harden back and getting healthy. But again, they've not played together. They played seven games, the three of them together. And if they're all healthy, you're not going to not have KD, Kyrie, and Harden on the floor together.
How great does it look to see the Knicks at a four spot? It's
great.
Yeah,
I love it. I'm very excited for the playoffs.
I watched the entire game Sunday. I was like, Knicks are incredibly likable. They're very Knicks. Not glamorous, not a lot of offense, play really hard, just like Riley's Knicks, like Walt Frazier's Knicks. For a glamorous city, they love their unglamorous basketball,
yeah.
But it's fun to watch.
I can't wait for it.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Greg
news.
Jennings joining us now, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. Okay, I want to start with Tebow before I get into the Packers. So I just said this. Have you seen the show Ted Lasso yet?
I have not.
Okay. It's corny and it's hopeful and it's optimistic, but it's a TV show and it's actually funny. It's totally unrealistic. A Division II college football coach wins, and he gets hired to coach an English Premier League soccer team, and he's never watched soccer. Again, it's totally unrealistic, but it works as a TV show, right? It works because he's a likable character. The writing's very funny. Tim Tebow to the NFL feels like that. It's overly optimistic and hopeful. The fact that he's going to put his hand in the dirt and try to block a defensive end 8 years out of the league, I wonder if that locker room in Jacksonville saying, come on, bro, really? Like, I don't know. It feels very hokey and collegiate to me. Do you think the locker room buys into it?
You know, that's the question. I'm not certain. They have a young locker room, and so that's what gives me hope. If they were more of a veteran locker room, then I think this would not work even speaking about it, because you got to think about what this looks like for so many players. They work their tails off each and every year to make a roster. And then you see a guy who comes in who has been out of football for the length and the duration of time that Tim Tebow has been out of, not coming back to play the position that he was once in the league for playing another position, and he's on the roster, like he's there with an opportunity, and it's so hard for these young men to even get an opportunity.
Yeah.
It wouldn't come across great for a lot of veteran guys. And so when you're thinking about young guys, they have to kind of embrace it because it is what it is. They don't know any better.
Yeah. I mean, again, Rudy worked because it was a blowout game. It's one play. It's college. There's all sorts of walk-ons in college. It's kind of a fun story. This feels like walk-ons in the NFL. And remember, you're taking somebody's roster spot. So I just...
Correct.
I think you're going to get a lot of whispers in that locker room like, dude, you couldn't play baseball either. Let's go to this. So the GM, Brian Gutekunst, had a quote that Joy just talked about. I hadn't seen this quote. Apparently he made it last week when he said Jordan Love has, quote, a long way to go, unquote. And I'm thinking, okay, dude, you had 32 college starts. I know there wasn't a preseason, But Justin Herbert walked on. He didn't get much of a preseason either. I'm thinking, if I read a long way to go, and that to me is, I'd be worried today. I would be empowered if I'm Aaron Rodgers. I would be worried as a Packer fan, or am I overreading the room there?
Oh, I think when I listen to that and he says Jordan Love has a long way to go, they're realizing the severity of Aaron Rodgers' leverage and his angle that he's coming from. And so it's like, okay, we're going to say this guy has a long way to go. I believe he still has a ways to go, but how long? None of us know. They're in that locker room. They see him on the playing field every single day in practice and in the meeting rooms. So they know that timetable roundabout. But for me, when I hear that, that's a general manager who understands where his footing is, and he has none right now when it comes to his starting quarterback, the MVP of the National Football League, who wants out of that current situation because of a decision you ultimately made. So let's make sure Aaron knows, look, we're letting everyone know he has a long way to go. We need you back here. We want you back here, even if it is for just 1 year. They understand the importance of messaging. And so I think that was all a part of the messaging to make sure that Aaron Rodgers catch that and understands we're not moving to him right now. You are our guy in this very moment. However, I think it might be too late.
Yeah. By the way, I had Devontae Adams on yesterday, and I just asked him point blank. I said, if Aaron left, why would you stay? Well, you're Devontae Adams. Like, I mean, there's a reason Stephon Diggs wanted to go play with Josh Allen. He was all into that. When you were with Green Bay, it's understood. It's different. They don't have an owner. They're pretty frugal. It's not attractive to free agents. Just take me back to the power of Favre and Rodgers and getting free agents. When you guys would have, I mean, because mostly the Packers have always been built through the draft. But I think if Aaron leaves, the Bulls have never recovered from Michael leaving, and that's a beautiful city that's very attractive, a franchise with tons of money. You could go sideways fast. I mean, when you were there, how much did Favre and Rodgers elevate free agents even considering Green Bay?
Well, that's the attraction. That's like the icing on the cake. That's kind of that cherry on top when you have that ace in your back pocket and you're able to throw that out there on the deck, on the playing table and say, look, we will always have a chance because of Aaron Rodgers. We will always have a chance because of Brett Favre. Well, if you have that playing card removed, now you are out of the question when it comes to trying to recruit and bring in talent that wants to win a Super Bowl, that is veteran, that is right now get it done. That's what Aaron Rodgers, that's what all these Patrick Mahomes, and think about this. The Cincinnati Bengals, with acquiring Joe Burrow as their pick last season, they're going to attract so many guys now because we all see the potential in Joe Burrow. He has nowhere near Aaron's level as far as his resume, but we see something there, and that's going to attract you. When you have a piece at that position that is so very important and valuable that that can be the determining factor whether a free agent comes or he goes and turns around and goes the other way.
Yeah. I got to circle back to Tebow. I don't want to be a bad guy on this because I was harsh on him the first time. I'm like, this doesn't work. It is crazy. Like, I mean, let's be honest. If you were in Jacksonville's locker room, there's already a tiny, tiny, tiny bit of skepticism about college coach into the locker room. A little bit. You don't want to admit it, but a little bit. I just feel like that tripled, right? Like you would have a conversation at lunch with a guy saying, there'd be a lot of whispers, right? In the cafeteria.
It would be, here's the problem. It's not going to only be a lot of whispers in that locker room and within that organization. There's going to be a lot of chat. There's going to be tons of chatter across the league because when you allow a guy, and I don't want to say allow, when you afford an opportunity like this to a guy like Tim Tebow, and I remember I heard Shannon say this on Undisputed a while back. He's been one of those guys that's been always trying to stay in that limelight, continuing to pursue his dreams, his goals, his aspirations, all these bucket list things. And for this to be one of them, it just seems so disrespectful for the guys who are qualified and who have played that position for so long and who have worked their tails off to try to earn a roster spot, and you don't even consider them. You go to a guy who's not put his hand in the dirt, who you have not seen play at this level, at that position, and you just give him that opportunity. That is what the chatter is going to be about, and it can cause rifts, not only within that locker room, but across the league when you talk about other players who we know. Colin Kaepernick is out there, and he hasn't been afforded an opportunity that many people think he should be afforded.
Yeah, it is interesting. It's almost like a blind spot for Tim Tebow. He just doesn't understand that he's a great college player, but in professional circles, Major League Baseball players rolled their eyes at him, and NFL guys at the end rolled their eyes at him. They did. I'm just being honest. He went to New England. They couldn't get him on the field. He went to New York. They couldn't get him on the field.
Joy said it. Players talk. Players know immediately who can play and who cannot play. And this is one of those guys. There's likability there. I get it. There's a relationship there between he and Urban Meyer. But as far as playing football on that level, the National Football League level, Tim Tebow has just not cut it. He's just not cut it.
Yeah. Good stuff, Greg. And Greg Jennings, Fox Sports NFL analyst. Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely.
You bet. Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, we can blame Urban Meyer, but there is some culpability on Tebow, who at some point, you know, it's like, I'll give you an example of what it makes me think of. I'll do that in a second.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sportsbook, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I was saying with Tebow is that I remember about 15, 16 years ago, American Idol was the number one show. It was on Fox. It was a British show, and all the American networks passed on it, which is just remarkable. And Fox picked it up. And for a decade, it was the most watched show in America. And I can't think of a TV show that had on broadcast TV that's ever rivaled it. It certainly, it's the last one to be that big. I mean, everybody watched it. Everybody talked about it. I mean, it was like a water cooler show. It was like the NFL. It was getting like NFL numbers. It was insane. NFL numbers. And, you know, there was Paul Abdul, who was sweet, and Randy Jackson, who was funny and nice. And then there was mean Simon Cowell. He was the one that the singers got nervous waiting for the answer because he was telling you the truth. You know, Paula didn't like to be mean. She would smirk and say something adorable, even if you were awful. And Randy Jackson had a nicer way of saying you can't sing. Simon was the industry. He wasn't mean. Joy and I were talking about this during the break. He was the industry. And he would tell you, no, your dream is over. You're not going to sing on Broadway. You're not going to get a record deal. I know what your grandma told you. And I know what your mom told you. But you're a lounge singer at best. Boo, mean. No, it's not mean. It's honest. And we all need more honesty. We all need it. I understand. Chase your dreams. And people say that. You should chase your dreams forever. No, you shouldn't. You're 39. It's time to stop playing minor league baseball, get a job, and support your family. You had fun playing baseball since you were 7. But it's like 32 years. It's time to support your family. You're a AAA baseball player. Not Tebow, just anybody. Like, there's a time when it's not about you and your dreams. It's about your family and about your kids and getting a real job. And Tim Tebow did realize his dream. He started in the NFL for a brief time and won a playoff game. And that's it. Like, his completion percentage is 45%. It's the lowest in NFL history. is this sense that the people that opposed Tebow, and I didn't oppose the opportunity. I said the day he was drafted, that's incredible arrogance by Josh McDaniels to think you're smarter than everybody. All my scouts were like, he's not an NFL quarterback, not a starter. He's an NFL athlete, maybe, but, you know, he ran a 4.7 140. That's slow for everybody but the punter and kicker and a guard. So, like, I don't think it's mean when somebody comes to you and offers you the truth. And if somebody is doing that to you, you see them as the enemy and an obstacle, but they're really an ally. Because so few people, politicians won't, parents won't, bosses won't, nobody's honest. Simon Cowell is just honest. He was the industry. He was just telling you what nobody else would, and he'd tell you to your face. It's time to give the dream up. You're 42. You're not going to make Broadway. It's time for somebody to tell Tebow. It's time to get a real job. The Herd.